Well, we are back in Ephesians. It's been a long time. This was supposed to be the sermon last week, but we had some technology challenges. So we get it today. And I have to dust off a little of the cobwebs on where we're at in Ephesians. But we're going to talk about a metaphor today that Paul uses that should resonate with us, because we all do it. We all change our clothes. We put off the old and put on new, put on different. And this is what picture he's going to try and give to us this morning in our text. Now we know where we're at is that we are to walk in a manner that is worthy of the calling to which you have been called. That is how he is begin this second half of the book of Ephesians as we move from the doctrine into our responsibilities, our duties. And he has told us this is the walk that we should walk in. And we're no longer children, he says. Don't be children. You need to grow up, be spiritually mature, so you're not tossed to and fro. And he has told us, don't walk in that old way, the old way which we were, the way we were born as sinners. Don't walk in that, the darkness that you're in, the futility of the mind. Walk as children of the light, right? This is what and who we are. Because he says then, and where we left off, that is not the way that you learn Christ, walking like you did before. It's a concept that is seen throughout Scripture but is missed so often. As people become believers, become Christians, they see Jesus as an add-on to their life and their way. How's he going to help me continue to go the way I want to go? But it's not that. It's a change, changing, moving from where we were to following Jesus Christ, going his direction and his way. So that's not the way you learn Christ, to continue to go in the old way. The way that you've learned Christ is different. So the teachings in 421, it's not a general statement. It's aimed at something very specific. It's aimed at us as believers. And so what we're going to see here is a very fundamental teaching on sanctification. Very important that we understand this. Extremely important. This text has been misunderstood and misapplied often. And so it's important that we understand what Scripture teaches us here. Because becoming a Christian is a radical change. You're born again. That's what the Lord Jesus likened it to be completely reborn. We become something new. We become something different. Therefore, Paul told the Corinthians, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. And so we do not live as if we have our old garments on. We have new garments. And so we're going to see here in our text, to learn Christ is to learn that you do not go on living the way you were any longer. There's three things that they've learned that we're going to see, all by the preposition of to, right? To put off, to be renewed, to put on. Three things in which they have learned Christ. This is the fundamental teaching that we need to know as Christians in our walk and as we seek to become more like Jesus Christ. So we're going to read our text and we're going to read around it so we refresh our minds. We'll start at verse 17. Ephesians 4:17, now this I say and testify in the Lord that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do in the futility of their minds. They are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, due to the hardness of heart. They have become callous and have given themselves up to sensuality, greedy to practice every kind of impurity. But that is not the way you learn Christ, assuming that you have heard about him and were taught in him as the truth is in Jesus. To put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. Okay, so as we mentioned, we got this clothing metaphor, we can say. This is what the idea of this word that is used here. It is really to put off the old garment, put on the new. So now today, this probably would go better in July, but today we kind of like to put on lots of garments. I mean, let's pile them on as multiple sweatshirts and all the rest. But the idea here, for the sake of the metaphor, is you have to put the old one off to put the new one on, right? So this is what he is getting at. Put off one in order to put on the other. Now, clothing says something about us, doesn't it? The kind of clothing that you wear sometimes depends on the role that you're in, right? If you're going to go to a wedding or a funeral, you're probably going to wear something a little different than when you go to the job site. And you're really going to do some construction work or hard labor. What you wear when you go to the gym to work out, probably a little different. Soldiers wear uniforms. Different professions are called upon to wear different clothing. And so when people see them, it says something. It says something about who they are. A professional dresses professionally. This is the idea. When people see us, what do they see? Do they see on the outer side of you, do they see who you really are now as a child of God? What is it that they see? So this is used oftenly. This to put off is used a lot figuratively for putting off sin throughout Scripture. Colossians 3:8, but now you must put them all away. What does we put away? Anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth. James 1:21, therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your souls. 1 Peter 2:1, so put away all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander. So we get the point, right? This is used a lot in Scripture. Put this away. Put this old part of who you were away. Put it off. Now, the question that we have is, Scripture tells us, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. We have died with Christ. So how do we put off what is dead? Why is he telling us to do this? Right? And we see this in Romans 6, right? We know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. For the one who has died has been set free from sin. Now, if we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. Isn't that wonderful? Beautiful, beautiful words that tell us who we are in Christ Jesus. So what is he telling us to put away? It's dead. How do you put something away that is dead? Is he teaching something different to the Ephesians than what he taught to the Romans? Well, no, because as we continue in Romans further, verse 11, then he then says, so you must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. You must do this. Let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body to make you obey its passions. Do not present your members to sin as instruments for unrighteousness. Why? Because you can. But present yourselves to God as those who have been brought. He's speaking to Christians here very clearly. Present yourself as who you really are, those who have been brought from death to life, and your members to God as instruments for righteousness. See, this is what he wants us to understand. God no longer sees you, if you're a true child of God, He no longer sees you in Adam. That's how we were born into this world as sinners, separated from God. He no longer sees us, those that have trusted Jesus Christ. So what is he telling us? Well, why in the world are you living like that? Why are you putting on and acting as someone that you are not? You are a child of God. Theologians say a lot with what's important that you understand in Scripture, and some of it has to do with the element of time, but the already not yet. And when it comes to being saved, we sometimes only think past tense. We've been saved. And we brush it all off and say we're good. Now let's just continue moving forward in the direction we were. But we are, yes, we are truly saved. We are saved from the penalty of sin. We have been separated from what was holding us in bondage in our natural state. But we are being saved, and we will be saved. There will be a day where we will leave these bodies that are decaying, getting older. That state of glorification when we come into the presence of Jesus Christ, what a day that's going to be. And so sometimes we understand this as you're saved from the penalty of sin, and you're being saved from the power of sin, and you will be saved completely from the very presence of sin. Someday we'll be away from all of it. So why are we told to put off? Well, because you can. So you now have the ability. We didn't have this in our natural state. You know, when we look at the world and they continue to sin, and we can't understand why, it's like asking a cat to bark. It was our nature, but we have been freed by that. As we saw already in Scripture, he's made us a new creation in Christ Jesus. A new creation. So we now have the ability to put it off. This is why he can say to do this. Put this off. He will continue to build on this as we go through this chapter, and he'll say, don't grieve the Holy Spirit. Yield yourself to him. Yet we have many characteristics of the old man that can still cling to us as the new. So he's telling us simply, be who you really are. You are a child of God, so be that. I'm the youngest in my family. So, you know, the old cliche about the youngest is the baby of the family, right? And so your older siblings really play this one up. And allegedly, there were times, I guess, when I was older that I was acting like a baby. And so what would they say to me? Stop acting like a baby, right? That's what I'd hear. Stop acting like a baby. Now, I remember it, so I wasn't a baby, was I? No, but I was acting like one. You think of the slaves when they were first freed. If you do some reading about that time, they didn't know how to respond to that. When the Berlin Wall fell and communists failed, people still just didn't know how to respond in their new freedom. And sometimes we get way too comfortable in who we were before. And it's easy to go back to that instead of understanding and embracing who it is that we have become now and enjoying the wonderful freedom that we have in Christ, free from the bondage of sin. And we can put those old garments off, put them away. It is something that the Christian does, okay? So this is not done for you. You have to step up. As I was once told, you got to put your big boy pants on. It's time to start moving in the direction as he has told them to. Don't stay as children. And we don't just pray about this. Sometimes that's what we do. Oh, God, get rid of my old man. No, you have to do it. We have to yield ourselves to this. If it's simply let go and let God, then the rest of this book is pointless. And so much in the New Testament means nothing. We can just close it up. But we are responsible. We're responsible to act like who it is that we are. We still have the characteristics of the old man, of the old garment. Get rid of it. Put it aside. Salvation, absolutely, by faith alone. We cannot turn over a new leaf and make ourselves a Christian. Sanctification is not. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Notice what he says here with this, put off your old self, which belongs to the former manner of life. Before the new can be put on, the old must be taken off. The old garment is that former way of life. Put it off. You're a child of God now. You know, I think of those cicadas. Aren't those fun? Right? You're mowing sometimes and you come to a tree and you're like, whoa, there's this ugly looking bug on the tree. And it's just a shell. The cicada has come out of that. And he's flown off somewhere and making all kinds of annoying noises now. But leaving that shell there on the... He left it. Left it behind and got the wings and flew off. This is us. Free from the old shell of how we were born by nature into sin. And he says here, and is corrupt with deceitful desires. You put the old self off because it's corrupt. Why do you want to hang on to that? It's corrupt. So this sheds some light on why it's a problem. You want to get rid of it because it's a problem, but we're comfortable with it. You know, sometimes I have a shirt that I really like, and Jenny says, come on, it's getting really tattered. But it's comfortable. Oh, you got these nice new ones. And, you know, you finally get it off and put the new one on. Like, yeah, I don't know why I was hanging on to that thing. And you really find it out with shoes, right? You know, you hang on. Oh, they just finally get the feeling good when a hole wears through, right? Ow, we're getting comfortable. Well, you get plantar fasciitis a few times, and you're ready to get rid of your old shoes and embrace the new ones. Put them off. They're corrupt. See, something that is corrupt continues to decay. Something that is corrupting normally can't be reversed. You know, you think of garbage, it's corrupting, it's going to get just worse and worse, right? As it sits and decays. So what is dying is corrupting. And what do we know in Scripture? That is the path we're on. We're decaying. We see, we understand death in Scripture. Death in Scripture is separation from God. It's not just a physical death. It's being separated from God. This is how Adam and Eve were misled in the garden. Separated from God. Why? What is God? God is life. He doesn't have life. Right? He doesn't answer to an outside source. He is life. He is love. He is peace. He's all of these things. He's light. He is. When we sin, as we all have and have been born into sin, we're separated from God. So what happens to what is separated from God? It decays. It gets corrupt. You ever take a branch and bust it off the tree? Oh, it looks good for a while, doesn't it? All green and nice, but what happens? Slowly begins to decay and corrupt. When we're separated from God, we're separated from where there is life, and we are corrupting. Someday, we'll be separated from this body that has been tarnished by sin, that is corrupting and dying, and we'll be given a new body that will never decay or corrupt. James reminds us in chapter 1 that sin, when it is fully grown, what does it bring forth? It brings forth death, corruption. This is really the plot of mankind. This isn't the wonderful thing to want to talk about. It's just a flat-out truth. It's the plot of mankind, and history absolutely proves it. Your newspaper, you can get one, internet, whatever page you go for news, proves it. We witness all around us the decaying and the putrefying life of the old man. on its way to final destruction. The world is rank with the stench of the corruption of humanity. That's what we see around us. And that's exactly what the Bible says you're going to see. And the world never improves morally on its own. They think they do. And this is why you continue to see the same thing played out over and over. Man separated from God is corrupted and will die. And destruction is coming. So he says, that's the old way of life. Corrupt. How's it corrupted? It's corrupted through deceitful desires. Now, this word for desired means, you know, you want something very strongly, very in an overpowering way. And everything we desire because we believe it will bring something to us. We believe it will fulfill us in a particular way. And so, therefore, we desire it. And we desire fulfillment. The problem is, with our nature being corrupted, our desires are as well. And they're deceived. Those desires that we have become deceived. This word for desire is the same word that the Lord Jesus uses when he says in Luke 22, I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you. So desires in themselves, not wrong. You know, it's not wrong to have hunger, to desire love, to desire safety. It's our desires are deceived. This is why Scripture tells us, you don't want to put stock in yourself and what you think and what you want. You look to what God says, what Jesus Christ says. There is where truth is. So the corrupted person continues pursuing and searching for the good that they crave, but they keep going after the very thing that brings about corruption. In my studies, I came across this quote. This author said, every person who lives passes through middle age to old age, has to fight against cynicism. Very few people carry their youthful idealism with them in the middle age and beyond. That's exactly what you see. If you're young, you might, oh, not me. Oh, you just live a little longer. It's a broken world. And people have desires and strong, but they get deceived. They're deceived. They're manipulated by the enemy, who Scripture tells us is a liar from the beginning and there's no truth in him. Hebrews warns us, oh, he says, but exhort one another every day as long as it is called today. I mean, every day, that none of you may be hardened. How? By the deceitfulness of sin. Sin hardens people. They were let down. And it makes their heart like ice. And you know, sin always comes with a smile. Always. It comes extremely attractive. You know, in Proverbs, it's likened to a harlot. Sin knows it has to come in an attractive form. Otherwise, you'd never desire it. In our corrupted state, we can be deceived. And this is what we may desire. It offers what it cannot give, and that is, of course, satisfaction. So what is he telling us? Why in the world would you want to put that garment on? It's going to lead you in that direction again. Where your desires are going to be deceived. Get rid of it. Move away from it. How do we do that? Well, what have you learned in Christ? To be renewed in the spirit of your minds. Be renewed. This verb is in the passive voice. So this is interesting. It's in the passive voice, so what that tells us is that God is the implied agent of the renewing. It is God that actually does the renewing. Our responsibility is to yield ourselves to him. We must yield to him. It's in the present tense, too. What does that tell us? It's not a one-time deal. It's continuous. We're to continually renew ourselves. How? Yielding yourselves. Yeah, that old garment doesn't want you to pick up the Bible very much. Doesn't want you to spend any time in prayer. Too busy for that. too many other things that you think will satisfy. We have to yield ourselves. You have to be the one to pick up your Bible. You have to be the one to spend your time in prayer and communion with God. God uses His Word to renew. God uses His people to renew. You see, He uses His church, doesn't He? Fellowship of others, communion, the songs, the preaching, the prayers. But what'd you have to do this morning? And it was hard today. Get up and come. Get up and come. And then God can do the renewing. God can do the refreshing. We yield ourselves to Him. And this is what He is urging them to do. In the spirit, renewed in the spirit of your minds. What energizes us? What fuels us? Our mind, our thought life. See, it begins in the mind. We see that in Romans 2, right? Do not be conformed to this world. How are you going to not be conformed to the world? Be transformed by the renewal of your mind. I mean, if you just coast, you're going to be conformed to the world. Slam dunk. Be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. The way we think affects the way we live. Do you hear that? The way we think affects the way we live. Proverbs in the King James says, "For as he thinks in his heart, so he is." Isaiah 26:3 says, "You keep him in perfect peace." God keeps this person in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. So important what we do with the mind. And it is so important that we think correctly about who God is. And that's why we need to know who he is. And we don't just go, "Well, I think God does this," or "My God does X, Y, Z." We truly know this is what Scripture tells us, and there's where our mind is stayed on who it is that he is. We must think correctly about who God is, and we must think correctly about who we are. Absolutely vital. We are children of God. As A.W. Tozer says, right, the most important thing about you is what you think about God. What goes on in this mind? And next after that will be, well, what do you think about yourself? You know, sometimes we get so over-focused on our temptations, so over-focused on our sins, that we actually make that our identity. And the culture most certainly applauds that, don't they? Your sin is, well, it's just who you are. Well, yeah, in our old nature, it was. Put that off. That's not who you are. You are a child of God. And I love what Martin Lloyd-Jones tells us. You need to preach to yourself. You need to preach. You need to become the best preacher you hear. Preach to yourself. It wasn't too long in my studying as on the subject of preaching. I think it was MacArthur that reminded constantly, as a preacher, you better be preaching to yourself all week long with that text. If that text didn't preach to you, don't take it to the pulpit. Weird, and you say, "Well, I'm not a preacher." Well, you preach to yourself because you're talking to yourself a lot. That's how we work. Our mind is, we're constantly engaged. It's moving all the time. Preach to yourself. What do you preach? Who I am. I am a child of God. I'm in the kingdom. That's who I am. And when the temptation comes along, immediately, that's not who I am anymore. When I want to do X, Y, Z that's not right, that's not who I am. I am a child of God. Impress this upon our heart. 1 Thessalonians 5 says, "For you are all children of light, children of the day. We are not of the night or of the darkness. So then let us not sleep as others do, but let us keep awake and be sober." We need to impress this upon ourselves. I don't want to dress in a manner that is not reflecting who I really am. I want to make sure that I reflect and showcase who I am, a child of God. Make no provision for the flesh, is what Scripture tells us in Romans 13. Make no provision for the flesh. Instead, Mortify the flesh. Kill it. John Owen, if you ever want a fun read, The Mortification of Sin, he lays it out. And it's been redone and restated in many different ways, all based off of Romans 8:13 that says, "For if we live according to the flesh, you will die. You will be separated from God. But if by the Spirit you put to death, you kill it, the deeds of the body, you will live." Colossians 3:5 says, "Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you." Kill it. Don't let it take root. Get rid of it. Put it off. We have to do this. It is not done for us. We are given the Spirit and His power for the ability to do so. And that's why Paul can tell us that we should do this. Now, we're not robots, all right? This is not just some mechanical conformity that God desires. Oftentimes, this is what people do. Well, this is what I'm supposed to do. I'll put that off. And it's just something you do. He is all about intelligent change. That's why we have three chapters in Ephesians before we get to this that tell us what God has done, who God is, what's been accomplished for us. God's plan, that wonderful mystery. We do it because we know why. I'm a child of God. Scripture tells me this. So he's not only calling for an outward change of actions and habits, he's looking for this inward change of the mind. What happens when the mind changes? The actions will change. So this is the question we can ask ourselves when we do what we don't want to do. We have to ask, well, what's going on up here? What are you thinking? You know, sometimes we say that to someone that commits a sin or does something, and we're like, what in the world were you thinking? Because that's where we know it began. Began upstairs. The thought life. Allow our actions to represent what's going on in our mind. So then he says, so be renewed in the Spirit. What else have we learned in Christ? To put on the new self. Okay? So because the old is put off, we now can put on the new. Now again, this does not mean this is how one becomes a Christian. Right? That would be completely to misunderstand what is said here, because we know that that is a work that God does. Salvation is from above. This reminds us the same thing he told the Philippians, to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, because it is God who works in you both to will and to work for his good pleasure. So he doesn't give us here just the negative and leave it at that. Put it off. Don't do that. You know, some Christians live this life. They got all, Christianity to them is just a bunch of do not do's. Notice out of these three that they've learned from Christ, one really is negative and the other are positive. What it is they're to do. One is what they're not to do. The others are, put it off. You don't want that. You don't want that on. Renew your mind and put on the new. So we don't just stop at putting off. Morality gives the negatives and breeds what? Legalism, doesn't it? But also, you remember in Luke, Luke chapter 11, verse 24, we read, when this unclean spirit has gone out of a person, it passes through waterless places seeking rest and finding none. It says, I will return to my house from which I came. Okay, so this person has got swept it up and got it clean. And it comes and it finds the house swept and put in order. Then it goes and brings seven other spirits more evil than itself, and they enter and dwell there. And the last state of the person is worse than the first. We don't just stay naked. We don't just put off. We renew the mind and we put on. There is no neutral here. It's not enough to just put off the old. We must also pursue that which is pure. And notice that he describes now the new self. And to put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. It's created after the likeness of God. How do we not want to put that on? How do we not want that to be what's shown to the world around us as we go about our life? According to his image, right? We saw this in Ephesians 2:10, didn't we? For we are his workmanship. We are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works. This is what he has created us for. We're his workmanship, and in true righteousness and holiness. Explains what it means to be like God. Now, compare this, contrast this to the old self. What was the old self? There's corruption and deceit. The new self, it's in the likeness of God. There's truth, there's righteousness, there's holiness. What is righteousness? Love what is right and true. And then do it. That's how you show you love it. You do it. No longer governed by the old self, by the old garment, by the old body, however we would want to put that. And how is it that we do this? By action, right? Walking in a manner that is worthy of the calling to which we have been called. Do not be conformed to this world. Separate yourself from it. Showing ourselves. They see it. There's the garment. That's not the old person. There's something different in the life and the walk of this person. And we know we can't say, well, I just don't have the ability to do that. Well, that challenges the fact that you're a believer then, because you have the Holy Spirit who gives the ability and the power for us to do this. This is one of the most important things we can ever discover in our Christian life. The responsibility that we have to walk accordingly, put off the old, put on the new, get in the Word. Don't feel like it? You know, sometimes we don't even want to admit that we don't feel like it. I will. There are times I don't want to read. I'd rather, let's get a good game of chess going or something. Rouse yourself. Stimulate yourself. Doesn't take long. You pick it up and you start reading and whoa, that's exactly what I needed. Put it into your mind. Drill it into your mind. Memorize it. You can't get it in there enough. It's words of life. Pray. Commune with God. Don't feel like that either, do we often? Pray by yourself. Get alone and pray. Call out to God and pray with others. Don't duck or dodge prayer. And seek fellowship with like-minded believers. Be with others that will help stimulate you in these ways. You put yourself around those that wear old garments, you're going to be comfortable. What do people are when they, you think of, you know, we talk about high school, but it isn't just there. It's really throughout life. People are very persuaded to dress like everybody else, right? That peer pressure. I want to wear what everybody else is wearing. I want to wear the latest fad. You carry this analogy a little further, right? This is what we do in our, we surround ourselves by people in the old garment. We want to wear that. And we start acting and behaving like them. Instead of surrounding ourselves with those who are putting on the new, so that it'll encourage us to do the same. As Paul could tell his followers, be imitators of me, as I am imitators of him. And remind yourself constantly of who you are. You. If you know Jesus Christ, if you have truly repented of your sin and turned from darkness to him, then remind yourself constantly, I am a child of God for all eternity. He is my Father. He is my guide. He has given me the Holy Spirit. I can be courageous, as Joshua was told, wherever I go, because I know he'll be with me. Be courageous. Don't be discouraged. He is with you wherever you go. He's simply asking us here, can you be logical? Can you be logical for a moment? And put into practice what it is that you believe. If you are truly a child of God, then why are you wearing the old garment? It doesn't make any sense. You put that off. and turn to him and embrace who it is that we are. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for these rich truths that we have in Scripture that speak to our heart, sometimes in ways in which we may not want to hear. We realize as we get comfortable in life, one of the things that we resist the most is change. And this is exactly what you are out to do, is change us, always. Our sanctification process, we realize, doesn't end until we reach the state of glorification, when we're given the new body. And we're given life eternal, saved from the very presence of sin. Oh, Father, help us yield ourselves, not to resist change. Help us to desire it. Help us to want to be who we are. You have made us children of God. We can't even begin to understand this. Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called children of God. Father, we thank you for what it is you have accomplished at Calvary and what you have brought us into. And Father, we confess and ask you to forgive that we overlook it. We don't embrace it and understand it. And oftentimes, we become too much like the world. Help us to put on the new. Oh, Father, we pray that we can help others and encourage others with our words that we speak to them, and the way that we come along to live beside them, they will have a hunger and a desire to represent and to be ambassadors of Jesus Christ. These things we pray in his wonderful, worthy name. Amen.